Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We want to get some response to a cutting letter President Trump was sent from a highly respected military leader, retired Admiral William McRaven. McRaven oversaw the Navy SEAL raid that killed Osama bin Laden. The open letter was published in the Washington Post. In it, McRaven asks Trump to revoke his security clearance, just as he revoked the clearance for the former head of the CIA, John Brennan. President Trump said he had to revoke the clearance because of what he calls the rigged investigation of Russian election meddling. Jason Dempsey is a retired Army officer and author of the book Our Army: Soldiers, Politics, and American Civil-Military Relations. Jason, several high-ranking former officials have criticized President Trump for revoking security clearances. You say McRaven's letter in response is unique. Why?
So what makes this unique is that you've got, as you mentioned, a highly respected former military leader who really has no identity other than senior Navy SEAL commander. And at the moment, we're in a position in America where there's really only one national institution standing that has the trust and confidence of the American people, and that's the American military. Now, a lot of folks who've criticized before with military experience, they've come out and criticized Trump maybe after they've made political views known or after they've kind of entered the arena for a while. What's unique about McRaven is he's kept his powder dry and his cards kind of close to his chest. And again, most people don't see him as anything other than a highly respected Navy admiral. So for him to come out and to come out so strongly, you know, the question is, is this a McCarthy Welch moment when the senior counsel to the U.S. Army in the midst of the McCarthy hearing said, finally, sir, do you have no sense of decency? Of course, that episode seems wildly quaint when you compare it to the invective and political discourse today. But that was the beginning of the downfall of McCarthy. And it's interesting that McRaven mentioned McCarthy in his letter, because there might be some parallels here where this finally breaks the dam, whereas other criticisms haven't.
Yeah, in the letter the McRaven sends, it says, if you think for a moment, this is to the president, if you think for a moment that your McCarthy-era tactics will suppress the voices of criticism, you're sadly mistaken. The criticism will continue until you become the leader we prayed you would be. What's the upshot for civilian-military relations? This is something that you have studied. I mean, what does any of this matter in the bigger picture?
It used to be that politics stops at the water's edge. Right? That was kind of the Cold War consensus between the two parties. There was a recognition and an agreement that the Soviet Union back then was the enemy. Everybody was on board, and people wouldn't snipe at each other politically when it came to issues of national security. That concept was buried long ago, and this is certainly one of, if not the last, among the last nails in that coffin, right? Now everything is partisan, everything is political. And so now it's going to be interesting to talk, well, how do we come to, we're entering a period of vast disagreement even about how to approach our friends and enemies, and it's going to take a little while for that to shake out.
So we're talking about military-civilian relations and the consequences of something like this. What happens within the military? I mean, the military, operates under a hierarchy, yeah. But there are various opinions within the military itself, left or right or somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. How does this kind of thing play out there?
And so that's what we've always been afraid of, those of us in the military and those of us who study civil-military relations, is this idea that once senior leaders, even if they're retired, jump directly into the partisan fray, that cascades down into the force. And what we don't want to see, or what most of us fear, is this idea that you would start having a partisan military, or where partisan identification would become something that politicians take into account at lower and lower levels of promotion. If one side is saying that this president is absolutely incapable of leading the force, then you're going to have a further self-selection of people who want to enter into the military. It has a whole host of cascading issues, including what's legal, what orders do you follow, and what's in the best interest of America.
Something like this that's happening at the highest ranks, you think could have an impact on the lower ranks in the military, even to the extent of who's going to sign up?
Oh, absolutely. So if the military becomes seen as an increasingly partisan institution. And there's some evidence out there in the scholarship that it is seen a little bit that way.
Partisan toward which way?
Republicans at the moment, although it's much more balanced. My research and evidence shows the military largely reflects the American population in terms of political ideology. But because of the actions of a lot of senior officers throughout the 90s and 2000s, there's a perception that the entire force kind of leans Republican. And so what you do is you get a feedback effect where somebody who thinks, hey, maybe I want to join, but you know, maybe I'm not all in on one specific ideology. Maybe I don't want to go hang out with folks like that. It's easy to see how military officers getting involved, recently retired military officers getting involved in debates like this, can influence how senior political leaders interact, say, with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs or the service chiefs. They're constantly thinking, okay, what's this guy going to say when I relieve him? Or, you know, how do I pick a replacement that won't turn into an enemy?
Jason Dempsey, Senior Fellow at the Center for a New American Security, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa.